Will you pray with me and for me? O Lord, open to us the full blessing of your word. Open our understanding that we may receive it. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, who alone is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Maybe you grew up singing that somewhere in Sunday school or camp. I did. And when I first opened this scripture a while back and realized we were going to be reading it today and thinking about it, that was the very first thing that came to my mind, that song. And it's been running through my head ever since. I'm hoping that tomorrow when I'm done with this, it will go away. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. So many, I think, of the Bible characters are overlain by songs and stories that we've heard. We imagine them not as they were, but rather as they are portrayed. Think about it. Don't you think of these Bible characters in bathrobes, just as they are in Christmas pageants? How did you imagine Zacchaeus when I read this story? How did you imagine the scene? There are some things in the story Luke would have known that we may not. Jericho, for example. Jericho is the last stop on the way to Jerusalem. Everybody that Luke is writing to already knows that. Now you know it as well. It's the last place you go to before you get on the path that goes up the mountain to Jerusalem. And it has a long history. It's where the people of God first crossed into the promised land. It's an ancient, ancient city. And it is a market town. So what we ought to be imagining, I think, is that Jesus is coming into a market, sort of like a farmer's market, a crowded place with all kinds of people. All kinds of language is being spoken. Over here is somebody speaking Greek, and over there someone Latin, and a lot of people speaking Arabic. Over there, there's a guy with a booth where he sells cloth. Now, booth sellers in those days, they didn't wait for you to come over. What they do is they come out and they grab you. Look at this. Look at this cloth. My mother herself weaved it. It's the finest she's ever done. It costs 10 denarii, but for today I'm feeling crazy. I'll give it to you for 5. And as you try to shake him off, he's still grabbing at you and saying, 5, did I say 5? I meant 3. And so it goes. Over there, there's a guy selling fried dough, and you can smell it. Doesn't that always smell good? I always think of coming out of Park Street Station in Boston. There's always a guy there selling fried dough. And even though you know it's really bad for you, even though you can just see your doctor scowling, it just always smells so good. So there's the guy selling fried dough. There's the guy who wants to sell you stuff. There's somebody else selling Jesus for Messiah t-shirts. There's all kinds of people. And of course, there's pickpockets and there's other people. Jesus doesn't travel alone. Jesus has this group of disciples around him. So they're coming with him. And then he's got about 70 other people. Imagine having to travel with 70 other people. Takes our family 10 minutes just to get in the car. 70 people. And they're all going through this crowd that's something like Lark Street Festival. Or fill in the blank with some other place that you've been where there's a crowd and everybody's jostling and some people are carrying beer. Beer goes back actually 5,000 years. So there they all are, this whole crowd, and they're jostling. And it's part market and it's part parade. Do you like parades? I really don't like them. But a lot of people do. And I'm sure that Jesus creates a special air of excitement because people have heard about him. He's a celebrity. And so as he's coming through the crowd, and I'm sure his disciples are trying to fend people off, there's always a security guy. As all that's going on, people are trying to look and see, oh, look, look, who's that? That's that Jesus guy. Except actually they call him Yeshua. That's Yeshua. Yeah, yeah, I heard about him. He worked like, he's a winemaker. He did some kind of thing. Oh, yeah. And didn't he heal your cousin's brother's sister? People are talking about him. He has this reputation as a healer and a miracle worker. He's a kind of minor celebrity. And if you want to see him, you've got to go down and you have to look at him. Because CNN isn't going to be invented for a few hundred years. Nobody tweeted about Jesus coming through Jericho. Amazing, I know. So you can't stay home. You have to go down and see him. And many people have. And one of them is Zacchaeus, the wee little man. Now, Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. And I know some of you heard this, but let me say again, taxes were collected very differently in this area. The way taxes were collected is that somebody like Zacchaeus goes to the government and he buys the right to tax. So he might buy up the rights to Albany County. He pays so much, and then it's up to him to see how much he can squeeze you and you and you and you and me to make it all back. Now, as you can imagine, this doesn't make him a popular guy. He's not the kind of guy that you invite to your home for dinner. He's not the kind of guy that you call up and say, hey, Zacchaeus, you wanna go get a beer and watch the game tonight? I think of him not only as a physically little man, but as a little man in other ways, a man who is alone a lot, a man who is isolated. And we don't know why he went to see Jesus, but something brought him out that day, and he's so invested in seeing that when he gets there and discovers that he can't see over the crowd. Has that ever happened to you? You can't see over the crowd at a parade? He gets there and he can't see over the crowd. And he thinks about this, and I'm sure it's not the first time he's encountered this problem. And so he goes off, and there's a sycamore tree. A sycamore tree is one of those low kind of trees that has branches that you can climb into. So he climbs up into the sycamore tree so he can look down at Jesus. It's easier to see when you're high up. I think that's why they built the pulpit up like this, because it means I can see everything you do. And Zacchaeus could see from there. So I want you to imagine Zacchaeus as this rich guy. He's had to climb up there in his version of a three-piece suit, and he's looking for Jesus, trying to pick him out of the crowd, trying to see Jesus. We don't know what he expected. We don't know what he wanted up in his tree, but we know that he wanted to see Jesus. He's curious. He wants to see Jesus. Isn't that why we all come here, hoping to see Jesus? Hoping to get a glimpse of Jesus? All over this community, all over everywhere, Christians are in churches where they will hear stories they've heard before, just like this one, hoping to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus is up there in his tree, and surely he isn't prepared for what happens. Would you be? He's up there watching this parade. And suddenly, Jesus stops and looks up at him. And he says, Zacchaeus, come on down out of your tree. Hurry up, because I'm coming to visit your house today. Well, you know what it's like when somebody suddenly says, hey, I'm coming to your house. I don't know about your house. I know what would be going on in ours. I've been thinking, what's in the refrigerator? Oh my God, what are we going to serve this guy? and looking at all the people who are going to come with him. And Jacqueline would be going, oh my God, I got to get home and clean. And I would be thinking, what are we going to do with Lucy, that dog? Some of you have been to our house and you know how Lucy barks. Imagine Lucy barking at Jesus. That would be embarrassing. So all of this, I think, must be going through his head. Jesus just ignores it. And looks at Zacchaeus, goes to his house. And then the people who are good people, the people who are moral people, the people who are keeping commandments, they don't like it. That man's a sinner. What's Jesus doing visiting with him? He's a bad guy. He's a bad guy. You know, we're so used to categories, aren't we? Friend, enemy, good, bad. We've had a long political campaign where we've divided up into tribes and teams. I don't know how many friends have broken up over the election. But here's Jesus, and he doesn't care about any of these boundaries. He doesn't care that Zacchaeus is not well-liked. He doesn't care that Zacchaeus is a sinner. He goes to his house because he sees something in Zacchaeus, and he tells us at the end what it is. This man is a child of God. This man is a child of Abraham. Salvation has come here. It isn't about the fact that that Zacchaeus gives money. It isn't about the justice of repaying fourfold, although that's been the basis of stewardship sermons ever since, I suspect. What it really is about is Zacchaeus himself and how Jesus sees him. Because however his friends see him, and they tell us he's a sinner, Jesus looks at him and says, he's a child of God. That's what happens when Jesus visits. We have all these different categories. As I said, Jesus just has one, child of God. And so when he looks at you, that's what he sees. He sees the child of God in you. When we look at someone like that, then Jesus visits them. Let me tell you about someone who helped me by seeing me that way. Mercedes Carlson was an older lady in 1995 when I began preaching at a church in Connecticut. She was short and round, just like Zacchaeus. And she had one of those smiles that suggested she knew where there was a great party and she just might tell you. Now, we all sit pretty much in the same pews every week, right? The only person who changed their pew today was Jacqueline. And it was such an earth-shaking change that I had to comment on it to her. And Mercedes was like that. Mercedes' pew was down and on this side of the church. And she would sit there near the front. Most of the people sat near the back, just like here. And every Sunday, she would just beam at me. There's no other way to say it. She would just sit there smiling and kind of laughing. And I love that because I'd been before that in a church that was full every Sunday where people laughed and so on. And now I was in a church where there weren't a lot of people. There were a lot of empty pews. And people didn't react as much. So there would be Mercedes, and after church, just like here, I would get up and I'd go to the back and I would greet people, and Mercedes would come up and she would say, "Oh, Reverend, that was a wonderful sermon. Oh, that was a great sermon. Thank you so much, Reverend." Well, I kind of like that. I mean, don't you like it when somebody comes up and tells you you were great? We all like that. After a few Sundays of this, though, when it was the same every single Sunday, I'm not stupid. I'm not great every Sunday. It began to dawn on me that Mercedes didn't have much critical facility. But I was wrong. I was totally wrong. Because what I discovered was it wasn't a lack of critical facility. It was that Mercedes was completely deaf. What I discovered was that Mercedes had never heard a single sermon I gave. Mercedes never heard a single word I said. It didn't stop her. You see, in Mercedes' mind, somewhere in her vision, there was something great happening. And she blessed me by seeing me not as the often failing guy that I was, but as a child of God. And I was going through a tough time in those days, a lot of changes in my life, including the fact that my father had just died. And she lifted me up over the storms of that time and helped me begin to see myself as a child of God. I was a little dismayed, to be honest, when I found out she was deaf and she hadn't heard a word of the sermons she thought were so great. Then I realized she did something much better than all the sermon evaluators of all time. She gave me a unique and special grace. She didn't have to hear my words. She only had to know I was God's child and doing my best. And we all have this capability. You have it. I have it. We have this capability to look at someone the way Jesus looked, to give them the grace they need to come down out of their tree. God didn't put us here just to watch. We have a mission. The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost, it says. That's what he hopes we will do. That's what he does with us. Every time we look at someone with the eyes of Jesus, every time we give someone the grace they need to come down out of their tree, is the time Jesus visits. So this week, go with God. Be the visit of Jesus and the blessing that God intended. Amen. Amen. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, hear our hope that we may indeed be and become your presence with husbands and wives, with children, with neighbors, with friends, with enemies, that the categories of life may collapse before the grace and love that flow from you through us into this world. Amen. Our hymn today in the middle is Come Thou Font of Every Blessing, number 19.